Tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning and welcome along to Tip Today. Lots happening on the show this morning. We chat with the Tipperary Flying Nun who has scooped a top award. There's been another crash at the N24 Piltown Death Trap. Tipperary students prepare for a night on the streets while casual students focus on positive mental health. Paddy Fahey cooks up a festive storm for us and I took a visit to Care Daycare Centre. That's all on the way. Trudy Waters is producing today and she'll be happy to hear from you on 1800 938 007. That's a free phone number. It won't cost you a cent to call. You can text on 083 311 3311. Now we're celebrating a special Echo Shoes promotion this week at Moroni's Footwear in Clonmel, and we have a €25 voucher to give away every single day this week. Then the daily winners will go into a draw on Friday for the grand prize, which is a pair of those Echo Shoes. Now that's not enough for you. Well, we have a Christmas tree to give away every day as well. And that's in association with our good friends at Pine Nurseries, Burncourt Care. All of that is based on your interaction with us by text, joining in the conversations, coming up with something brand new, getting it off your chest on that all-important text number. 083-311-3311. All right, let's have a look at what's making headlines today. It's been reported there's been no breakthrough in the Brexit talks on border issues. Special cabinet meeting is due to be held this morning where ministers will be updated on the situation. The government's been warned that insecure working arrangements are rampant across the economy. The Irish Congress of Trade Unions is calling for urgent action following a report which shows the problem has risen significantly since 2008. And Tidy Towns groups across Tipperary are apparently losing marks due to works which need to be carried out by the County Council. The problem was highlighted at a recent meeting of Carrickenshire Municipal District. Well, I was travelling on the roads last night. I was making my way back from Wexford, in fact, and I came across another serious crash at the Piltown Junction on the N24. Now, several cars were involved in the collision. While there was no injuries, thankfully, I beg your pardon, while there was injuries, nobody was killed. Now, councillors in both Carrickenshire and Piltown, along with local campaign group, have been lobbying for action to address this particular junction. And I'm joined on the line now by Councillor Eddie O'Mara. Good morning to you, Eddie.
Morning, Fran.
As I say, I was travelling back there last night, Eddie. Visibility was poor enough. It was a drizzly sort of a night. And there you had it again. That very junction, another crash there. What needs to happen before something is done, Eddie?
I suppose, Fran, this says morning, what you say is right, there was no fatality here. But this is becoming, this is a matter of extreme urgency at this stage. You're heading in now to Christmas period, where, as you know, the number of accidents increase normally around this time of year.
Yeah.
We've had numerous meetings, Piltown Municipal and Carrickenshire Municipal, to try and move this N24 forward. I understand the Minister visited there sometime in the summer and there was supposed to be a review group or consultants again called in. I have had no report. But this needs immediate government action and funding and needs it now, because what are we waiting for? Just another fatality, is it? I don't know, and I'm totally frustrated with the lack of action on this one.
And what I saw there last night, to be honest, Eddie, I was surprised that there wasn't a fatality, because it was a very serious collision, you know.
But, friend, you know that road up and down as I do.
Yeah.
Even in midday, in ideal driving conditions, you have to be extremely careful. You have to be extremely careful. Mm. It's a design fault from beginning to end.
And just for people who might be too sure, Eddie, it's where you're trying to make your way out onto that stretch of carriageway, isn't that it?
Yes, where you're making it's what they call a carriageway and a half.
Mm.
You know, it switches from side to side. Now, if you try to come out there, it's at your own risk, really, you're coming out there, because I have come out there on numerous occasions, and every time you're conscious all the time, you can get caught on that junction, just caught on that junction.
Because cars are travelling very fast, of course, on the main road there.
Very fast on the main road, because it is a fast stretch of road on the main road. And then you have the added problem then, which is carriageway and a half, where they turn off, where there's cars turning in. And they're creating another hazard there. You know, there is only one solution, and that is either do a proper overpass or and a proper dual carriageway.
There's been a number of fatalities there, Eddie.
Indeed there has.
I
doubt if any year has passed since that was open, since that such a road was open, without a fatality.
Yeah. The dividing markers on that road, I can never get over either. It's so poor. It's so dodgy, isn't it?
It's strictly a railing.
Yeah.
I can't. I've seen it maybe once or twice, but it's absolutely dangerous.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if a motorcycle hit that rail?
I know. Well, our own Pat Murphy here, who was a motorcyclist in a previous life, but he told me motorcyclists call that the cheese slicer, because it's so dangerous. If they come off a bike against that, I mean, they're done for, really, you know?
They're done for, yeah. I remember the debate on this at the time, and when those works have been done. But more or less, we were told the bulk of it's outside our area. It's in Kilkenny at that time.
Mm.
But except there has to be immediate action on this. There's no point in the minister coming down on a PR exercise and saying, oh, yes, you have a problem. Everybody knows we have a problem. It's provide the money for it to correct it before somebody else loses their life there.
Yeah. Well, the previous night, in fact, I was on the same stretch, but on the other side of the road, there was another accident that involved sulkies or something, but there were loads of guard cars there and unmarked cars and also. So something else went on the previous night on the other side of that road.
That's on, you're talking on the one...
just the other side of the carriageway
on
there.
On the opposite there.
Yeah.
But that could well be somebody trying to cross over. You don't know.
Yeah.
Could well be.
You see, we're talking, I suppose, a big sum of money here, Eddie, to do something about it. That's obviously part of it, is it?
Yeah, but do you put a price on a life? You know, we're spending money, we're spending millions on list demanding cases.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be counted in money. It should be counted into how many lives can you save, how many accidents can you prevent?
Well, that's the thing about it, I suppose. But still, we're hearing about the Transport Minister now, you know, agreeing to a cut in funding that will impact very heavily on roads, I'm sure, in Kilkenny and Waterford and Tipperary.
Tipperary, as you know, the road fund has been cut continuously since 2009 in Tipperary. And I believe now, I haven't seen the document.
I think it's another 30% of a cut.
30% of a cut. Yeah. If it's 30% of a cut, it's secondary roads, they will be non-existent.
All right, Eddie.
And
well,
they will create more accidents. That's, you know, the worse the condition of the road, the greater chance of an accident.
Well, as we say, last night's skirmish will be added to a whole list of accidents on that stretch there. But, you know, thankfully nobody killed
anyone. One would wonder, will it prompt the minister to do anything?
Well, I would imagine you're doubtful about that, Eddie.
I'm very doubtful.
All right. Listen, thanks, Eddie. Thanks for talking to us today. That's Councillor Eddie O'Mara, and we're speaking about that particular stretch there of the N24 and the Piltown Junction there. Big pile-up there last night, but thankfully nobody killed.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
1-800-938-007. That text number is 083-311-3311. Now, if you came across that particular accident on the N24 last night, you might want to tell us about that. Already the previous night, as I say, there was a host of Garda cars and unmarked cars and stuff around what appeared to be some kind of accident that involved a sulky, certainly at some stage or other anyway. Our out and about reporter Amy Ryan is with us now to tell us about a wellness week that took place in Cashel Community School this week. Good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
And it's good to talk to you. There was plenty of activities going on for the students.
Yes, there was plenty of activities that week. It was actually last week that I attended the Wellness Week. I'd originally went because Indo Doherty was supposed to come and give a talk there. Yeah. And he was a very interesting character. He had walked over 200 miles with a 5-stone washing machine on his back in aid of PE to House. It was all trying to raise awareness for mental health. But unfortunately, he couldn't be there that day. But there was so many other things going on. I met one of the teachers, Katrina Ryan, and she had organised the week, and she brought me around the school meeting different teachers, telling me about the programmes they were running and some of the students who had been to events as well. And it was really, really great. So there was also an example of some of the things that were going on that week. They had Zumba going on, I think, on Monday and Friday at lunchtime, so the students could go in, do a bit of Zumba. And
now, for those of us not too much into our Zumba, that's dancing of sorts, Amy.
It is, yeah. It's a type of exercise, and so they can let out all their stresses there while they're on lunch.
Very
between
good
classes. Yeah.
All right. So the Wellness Week in general, then, what was the aim of that? What was it all about?
So it was actually organised as part of the Junior Cycle Programme, which is called Wellbeing, which is introduced in 2017. And it was introduced this year with 300 hours of timetabled learning. But what they wanted to do was bring all the events, I suppose, into just one week, just to focus and highlight it. And wellness is a phrase which encompasses mental and physical well-being. So they were trying to teach children that even if they do some physical activity, that can actually feed into their mental health, and it can really help that as well.
Very good. I know you spoke to a couple of TY students.
Yeah, and they really, really seemed to grasp the idea, and we'll have a listen there.
My name is Mamie Keating, and I'm in TY in Cashel Community School.
My name's Elio Bonelli, and I'm in class TY1 in Cashel Community School here.
Okay, so as part of Wellness Week, you did a very special event yesterday. Can you tell me about that, Mamie?
Well, we went down to Limerick, and we went to go trampolining as part of our resilience for Wellness Week.
And did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And how does that connect with wellness, Elio?
One of the themes of wellness is what you call resilience. And I suppose trampolining mimics resilience. So bounce back ability, jumping up and down, relieving stress, making you feel happy. That's where it tied into Wellness Week here in Cashel Community.
Tell me, what's your understanding, Mimi, of wellness? What does that mean?
Wellness is not only physical, but it's mental. So we tried to include the bounce back ability into it yesterday. And the being active will also, it releases happiness hormone, and it causes you to feel better about yourself.
And do you think that it's important to take care of your mental health, Elio?
It is very, very, very important, because if you're feeling sad and depressed, your mental health will drag you down. But if you're feeling happy and uplifted, you can get through things, you can push through things. That's why it's important, mental health. Mental health is almost as more important than physical health itself. So.
And do you think teenagers can struggle sometimes with their mental health?
Oftentimes, they can, because there's oftentimes in teenagers especially, there is stigmas around, trying to get thin, and people take all that negativity and force pressure onto themselves. Well, if they focus on more the happier things, say for example chocolate or what they like doing best, they can get pushed through these things. And I also feel that exams also provide more stress, extra stress on teenagers, as it's important,
Mimi, do you agree? Do you think teenagers are under a lot of pressure these days?
Yeah, we are told that an exam is your future. So those who aren't academically superior than others are put under more pressure, as they try not to let their family down. And they just want to succeed in life. I suppose everybody does, but like, you just need, these are the most important years of your life, and we need to focus more on mental health than our grades.
And what do you think are the tools you have to try and take care of your mental health?
Well, your friends play a big part of it, because you can just like talk to them and it just like to get everything out. And then we have the advantage of having guidance counsellors here in our school, so they can help deal with the stress. And also just the PE or just any activity that we can do possible, we do.
Well, that's Mamie and Elio speaking to you, Amy, and very well able to speak they were too. What other events on the day, Amy?
That particular day that I went there, they had another event taking place looking after their physical well-being. They were actually doing cardiac screenings for the students. So the students had been invited to do the cardiac screening by a company called Advanced Medical Service, who were travelling around to schools all over the country trying to detect signs of sudden adult death syndrome. And the reason for that, I suppose, is that the rate of SADS is the highest in Europe, Ireland
is
at the moment.
Indeed?
Yeah,
isn't
that's what he told
incredible?
Me, yeah.
You spoke to one of the students who had been screened, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Eva, we'll have a listen there now.
My name is Eva Carl and I'm in third year.
So you're just after having a cardiac screening, is that correct? What was it like?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. It was, you know, it was relaxing. It wasn't too intense anyway. Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
And why did you decide to do it today?
I don't know, it just, when I was coming to the school, it seemed like the right opportunity just to, you know, especially when I was here today, so it just seemed right to just go check out things and see if everything's okay.
And do you think it's important to look after your health from a young age?
Yeah, I think it is important, in fairness, because I don't want to pick up any bad habits.
As part of Wellness Week, they're trying to teach people that mental health is just as important as physical health. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, totally, 100%. We're learning a lot about it in school at the moment as well, so I think it's good to know about it, yeah.
What kind of tools do you have within the school that can help you to deal with if you were having mental health issues?
We've great support in the school. There's guidance counsellors, we have the chaplain, and there's teachers as well to talk to, and the principal and vice principals. So yeah, there's lots of people to go to.
And do you think that it's quite common for teenagers to have mental health issues? Do you think teenagers are under a lot of pressure nowadays?
I haven't really come across a lot of people like close to me that I have, but I think there is a lot of people that do have experienced mental health issues, yeah.
And say, for example, if you were to have a friend approach you and tell you that they were feeling depressed or something, what do you think you could do to help them?
Well, personally, I just talk to them and, you know, be there to listen and get maybe someone else to help if it came to it that it was needed. But, yeah, just be there to listen anyway.
Do you know, Amy, I wish there was that sort of backup for students when I was going to school. It's fantastic. You also spoke to the Deputy Principal, John Murray, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And he told me everything that was going on with the week. But one of the things that he told me that was really interesting, I wanted you to have a listen to. Here it is.
The project is called Same As It Ever Was, Exploring Music Through Generations. And the idea is that young people and their, we said grandparents, but a significant adult in their life, could be an aunt, an uncle, it could even be a great-grandparent, it could even be a parent, would use music as a vehicle to get them to talk, okay? A lot of parents will tell you, and I'm a parent myself, that the phone has become a huge barrier to talking. There are studies, for example, of tragically inner-city schools, maybe some schools in disadvantaged areas, where kids don't speak because they don't talk to their parents because it's all phone, you know? Now, I'm not saying that's a big issue in Cashel, but that's where it came from. So this project was done in Talla Hospital in Dublin as a pilot, and they discovered that by doing that, getting young people and old people to talk together about music, it enhanced both their mental lives in terms of the young people to see what their grandparents were doing and to form a connection there. And of course, for the grandparents then to feel that there is a viable connection with their grandchildren or whatever the young person is. And I think that's where it came from. So it aims really to explore the power of music and to connect and educate generations. So by talking about maybe the Beatles or the Comets or something in the 50s, or in some cases, maybe even the 60s, and then whatever the kids listen to themselves, it's a chance for them just to talk, really. And talk is one of the biggest things about what we're doing this week. You know, kids talking to each other, kids talking in rooms. You know, if they're Zumba, they're having enjoyment together. It's all about, you know, connecting them as individuals. So a gentleman called Ian Wilson is coming with us today to the school, and he's going to, I suppose, facilitate the meeting of the students and the grandparents. And let's see what happens. Hopefully in the afternoon we'll have a kind of a nice little display of the music that they both listen to. And who knows, they may both learn about, not just about music, but something about themselves. Because in all of these conversations, it's the extra things. When they're reminiscing and the kids will say, oh, I didn't know you did that. And, you know, kids talking about the music and the grandparents, I didn't know you did that either. Ironically, there's a big project happening at the moment. It's on RT about a choir of young people and old people. Same kind of thing we're doing here in a very, very small way. And I'm interested to see what the actual result will be from the point of view of the parents, for the grandparents and the kids themselves. And as I said, all of these activities are things we hope that we might continue on in some shape or form. But we're using Wellness Week as a kind of, I suppose, an awareness week for everybody to know what's going on in that situation.
That's Deputy Principal of Cashel Community School, John Murray, who has done so much for music, not only in the school, but indeed for the town of Cashel as well. Also, something came up that interested me when I heard about it first, Amy, was that retirement home in the Netherlands. That's a very interesting programme, isn't it?
Yes, I remember hearing about this a couple of years ago, and I thought it was a really, really good idea, where the university students can live rent-free in a nursing home or that kind of space. Mm. And then in exchange, they spend at least 30 hours a month with some of the elderly people who live there. And they are doing things that professional staff can't always do, which is just spending time with them and chatting.
Company.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic idea. Plenty more going on that week then, Amy.
Yeah, the following day they had, on the Thursday, they had Gratitude Day, and they were handing out journals and encouraging students to write down three good things that had happened to them every day. And positive psychology has shown that that does really help to build your resilience. And then they had also extended it to the senior cycle, and they were bringing in some people to give them talks on alcohol awareness and how this can affect your mental and physical health.
All right, very good indeed. Isn't it fantastic to see a whole bunch of young people getting together like that, and some great programmes on offer there as well. Amy, thanks so much indeed for that. Good to see you today. Thank you.
That's
our own Amy Ryan, who was out and about for us at Cashel Community School there, and listening to the students and indeed to some of the teachers involved.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Keep your calls coming into us. And it's a free phone number, 1800-938-007. That won't cost you a cent. And of course, you can text on 083-311-3311. We're always delighted to hear from you. And just to remind you again, there's very good reason to interact with us by text, because we have that €25 voucher to give away in association with our good friends at Moroni's Footwear in Clonmel. And we have Christmas trees to give away all of this week too. And that's in association with our good friends at Pine Nurseries, Burren Court in Care. So if you haven't got your Christmas tree yet, and if it's non-organized, well, you might want to get involved with the conversations here and tell us what it is you think about all these various things. Do you know, I often think that we live in stressful times, and sometimes I'd be whinging that I feel stressed myself. But what about if you were pretty certain that you were going to be murdered? Well, the front page of the Irish Daily Star today features a quotation from Cian McCormack, who was indeed murdered. And he had told his friends, this is incredible, he had told his friends, I will be dead by Christmas. He told his friends that he feared he would be shot, and indeed he was. And as I say, we think we're living stressful lives and we think we're living kind of difficult lives and one thing else. But what if you had to get up every morning? Now, I know you might well say, you know, he got himself into these situations and all of that. But if you had to get up every day and if, you know, if you were thinking, I could well be shot, there could be somebody waiting out there with a gun to shoot me. It sort of would focus the mind, I would imagine, a little bit. But there you go. The Transport Minister is being called on to resign following drastic cuts to road funding, which will impact heavily on Tipperary. And Tipperary TD Jackie Cahill has branded the minister as inept. And Jackie joins me online now. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you. I think you're out of the country today, Jackie.
Yeah, I'm in Brussels with the Oireachtas, the Agriculture Oireachtas Committee there, Phil Hogan announced, I suppose, the first tranche of negotiations on CAP there last Friday. So we're out here for a series of meetings for the next 2 days, Fran.
All right, so pretty serious stuff there, I would imagine, for our farmers. Talk to me about roads, though, for a moment, because you came out very strongly against Shane Ross there. He did say that he knew nothing about these impending cuts.
Yeah, that's what's just completely inexplicable and unforgiving. You know, as a Directors Committee, when Robert Try, our spokesman, questioned him, and he said, I know nothing of this proposal. And even though Robert produced a letter from a senior executive of TII to all the chief executives of the county councils to say there was going to be a 30% cut in road maintenance grants. And for a minister who's in charge of this department not to know that this communication was going to the county councils is just inexplicable. And you just can't comprehend it. And, you know, he has done the same with the transport strikes. You know, it's not my problem. But the budget for roads is his problem. And as you know, Fran, it's one of the biggest subjects you'd meet anywhere you go around Tipperary or any other rural county is the state of our roads.
And in fact, rather than a cut, Jackie, I mean, it's more money we were looking for just to get us up to and running again.
Yeah, and the indications, Fran, in the budget was that there was going to be more money there. So that's what's, you know, completely inexplicable. And he indicated in the budget there was going to be more funding for rural roads.
Yeah.
And now he at TII saying there's going to be a 30% cut. And you talk to any of the county councillors, they're at their wits' end trying to, you know, spread the amount of money they have over a wider and wider area and trying to keep the roads in a reasonable condition. And, you know, we're going into the winter months now, Fran, and you'll get endless calls from here to next March or April about the state of this road or the state of that road. And you drive and you see them. The roads are in extremely poor condition. And for the minister to say the budget, for a minister to allow the budget to go up to 30% and not to know that was happening, if that's not a resigning matter, I don't know what is.
Can you explain where the extra money then that the government is trumpeting about, where is that actually going?
I don't know, Fran. And reading the letter from TII, it will see that the major roads are getting extra funding, the motorways and, you know, the major, the primary routes. But that wasn't the indication that was given in the budget. It was that rural roads were less going to get, you know, a bit of extra funding and there would be something there to done. And there was even promises of an LIS scheme. Mm. Which, you know, that's a local improvement scheme, which hasn't been there for a number of years. It would be most welcome in rural areas. So, you know, there was, you know, general, you know, amazement in the corridors of power when this announcement came through that there was going to be a 30% cut.
Mm. Can anything be done about this? I mean, Fianna Fáil, you have a lot of power with this government now, Jackie. I mean, and this is a very serious issue for rural Ireland.
Well, this will be raised this week in the Dáil, Fran. And, you know, it will get huge attention. And, you know, county councillors and county councils just won't be able to tolerate a cut of this magnitude. It will mean the roads will deteriorate to a huge degree. And it's just not acceptable. And I know the maximum pressure would be applied from the far side to ensure that at least the budget that was there in 2017 is there for 2018. And obviously we will be looking for an increase, but the budget has to be at the very, very least maintained.
That LIS scheme that you're talking about, the laneway improvement scheme, is that the one where the residents have to pay a portion of it?
Yeah, there would there has been a community involvement scheme, a CIS scheme, where a public minor road, if the residents on it contributed 15%, the road would be done. But this local improvement scheme is the one for non-public roads which was there in the past, and it was promised that it was going to be reintroduced next year. Now, where the funding could come for that with this kind of a course is very hard to see. But it was something again that was told that was going to come online, and it hasn't been there for about a decade. And there will be a lot of people on, you know, private roads that would be very anxious to avail of it.
So you're calling on Shane Ross to resign.
Well, I think, you know, if you go back to the transport disputes that was there, he was oblivious to disputes that weren't his concern.
Mm. Well, you know what he said about that? He said that he didn't want to be dipping into the taxpayers' pockets to sort out these situations.
Yeah, but when you're Minister, Fran, you have responsibility and the book stops at your desk. Mm. And he's evading this responsibility on numerous occasions. And for a minister not to know that the budget for road maintenance was being cut is just not acceptable. And I think he's not doing his job. He's inept. And any of the public you meet would give you the same view. This minister is not functioning. And in my view, he's not fit for purpose.
All right. Now, as I say, you're in Brussels. Discussions happening there. Where are we with that, by the way, Jackie?
Well, I suppose, you know, this is for 2020, and it's an embryo stage, and I suppose we're trying to get our input into where we want to guide it for Ireland. And I suppose, as you know, the commissioner is an Irish commissioner. Mm. As of now, you know, it's the threat of Brexit, Fran, is the overhang over these discussions, and you know the huge pressure that will be on the budget if the budget decision goes ahead, as looks likely now, and there will be pressure on funding then for the budget, and I think all decisions will be based, you know, on that pressure on how we can maintain the budget. That's going to be, you know, going to be a very, very hard task. And I suppose just on a technical point, there is, you know, a small line about, you know, the intervention purchases and changing the way intervention purchases happen. That would have huge implications for the dairy market at home. It's something I intend to raise with the Commissioner tomorrow.
All right, well, we'd be interested to hear about that. Jackie, thanks very much indeed for coming on with us this morning. Thank you. Good morning to you. That is Tipperary TD Deputy Jackie Kyle, live from Brussels this morning.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today, 1-800-938-007. Sean is online with me. Good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning, Fran.
You have some pretty strong feelings, Sean, particularly about the NRA. Is that right?
Well, it goes for your comments on the condition of the roads in Carrigan Shore.
Yeah,
where these accidents, we just take that as a topic. The NRA, if you have a farm or you're in a farm or whatever, and there's a problem, there's a breach of health and safety, if it's serious enough, they will come in and close you down. They'll probably go to the radio, it'll hit radios, papers, and you'll probably get a heavy fine. Yeah. And they'll just live on your back. I am aware of one or two situations over the country where that happened. So right. What's the difference in the council, the NRA, and anyone who's involved in the design of these no roads?
That they should be held to account in some way, Sean, is that what
Which
you
Which
are
why not, like?
Yeah.
Like, they're the same. This is the problem with the council. They're seeming above, you know, the NRA, the councils, all these, they're above the law. No, I don't think there's anyone above the law. If it's you or I, an ordinary person, we're going to get hammered.
Well, there is no doubt whatsoever that this particular junction, I'm presuming you're well off with that, Sean, with
well
that junction.
Used,
on that N24 there.
Yeah.
It is absolutely deadly. And to come across that crash there last night, it was heartbreaking. It was horrifying. And as I say, I can't believe that somebody's life wasn't taken and it looked so serious, you know.
But so who's it for? That's going on long enough, Frank.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Fran.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of reports going in about that.
People killed there,
Yeah, I think it was the Council O'Mara.
Mm-hmm.
He brought that up a good few times. I'm aware of that. It's not that road alone. There's other roads, new roads. New designs. You can't go back in a very old road.
And happens when, I mean, we were just talking there to Jackie Cahill about Shane Ross not even being aware that there was a 30% fall in road maintenance. But I mean, what happens when they come and say to you, listen, we just don't have the money to do this, you know?
I'm not Jackie Cahill. I can say what he likes about it. It's a fall in this, that, and the others. Everyone wants to jump bandwagon. The money is there. Where's the money? You know, Shane Ross has been down in Ardfin and gave instructions and gave the money, and where's the, you know, they wouldn't even use it. Like, it's a joke. The whole system is a joke. And when you can, when you have the NRA and allow that to on bad roads and putting people in danger, their lives in danger.
In fact, there was a motorcyclist onto us to explain that you know the way that sort of a wire middle section of the N24 there. He was just explaining to us how much of a death trap that is. If a motorcyclist comes off a bike there, I mean, they're dead meat, basically, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, what is they call that, something, a cheese slice or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would hate to hit that with a car. I would actually, as well, like, that's, you know, it's a design, and I definitely think like that the HSA should be brought to accountability, and that they see me that, you know, these are about that's going on. That's there for a good few years now.
Yeah, it is.
And they have signs there. This is a death trap along that road there.
Yeah, I think there was lots of black crosses there as well, but I think the people who put them up were made to take them down. For some reason or other as well, but there you go, you know.
Ah, yeah, well, that's covering everything. Who made them take them down? The NRA. I mean, I know a junction up in Offaly that the man was actually made take down a sign that was there for 4 or 5 years, and he was told he'd be fined heavily, this, that, and the other.
If he didn't take it down?
If he didn't take it down, that it would cause a distraction to people driving. Now, that's, you know, that's a joke, like.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of distractions.
You're travelling the roads an awful lot, Sean. On a daily basis, are you seeing areas like that are just death traps all of the time?
Well, I'll give you one instance with counts. You know, I think they sublet a lot of this traffic control and that. And if you're up, I was up in Offaly there a few weeks ago, and I've no problem names because I actually rang the council.
Right. Well, we keep the names out of it if you can. Can you just give us the overview of the story?
Well, they had a traffic control system there that they pushed you down the side road, and you went down the side road, you didn't know where you were going.
Right.
And there was traffic coming against you. They were going with you, coming against you. And just totally dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of roads. I wouldn't be an engineer or a person who designed the road, but I mean, I have plenty. There's plenty of roads. Yes, there is dead traps in different places. So you can see that.
And
that's the design. And I'm going to go back to the health and safety again, because they will hammer farmers, they will hammer that business people. Anybody, if you have a problem even inside in your place there, and the breeze and health and safety are brought, they'll hammer you and it'll go everywhere, it'll go wide. So why not with these bit of roads?
And especially when, I mean, it's obvious that these are death traps. Stuff is happening on them all of the time, you know?
Well, what are they going to do about it? It'll be interesting to see now when we say after today or that serious accident there last night, as you say.
Well, I can tell you probably what will happen is that Councillor O'Mara, one of the council, will bring it up again at the next meeting, blah, 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 and it'll be forgotten about again until something more serious happens, you know.
Fine. Look, it's a broken record with a lot of this stuff that's brought up at meetings, in fairness. Like, it's just, you know, you can go back over all the meetings. I've been at a good few, and it's a broken record. You hear from councils, etc., etc., and you go to the next one, it's the same thing again. And there's nothing been done until there's probably 5 or 6 people killed on that junction down there.
All right, Sean, listen, really good to talk to you today, and do be safe on the roads, won't you? Let's have a look at what's coming in on text right now. We're going to Trudy. Good morning to you, Trudy.
Morning, Fran.
Some reaction to that road crash last night, and indeed that area of the N24.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, in relation to the man on the motorcycle, you know, the biggest problem there would be the divides, and that if you hit those divides, you're not likely to survive. And it's something that's come up kind of again and again in relation to the other parts, other motorways as well. I know there's problems with similar divides in North Tipperary along parts of the motorway up there. there that unfortunately when you hit them, survival is not likely.
Yeah, that motorcycle, does he give some detail about that? He said the biggest problem that gives you, you get viciously cut by the wires, and he says it's the posts that hold them up that do the real damage there.
Yeah, and that, and it is those posts that have caused fatalities in a number of areas over the last number of years in the county. Well, the crashes caused the fatalities, obviously, but they have exacerbated them. We have more comments in there. Fran, they have no courtesy from drivers anymore. You can teach someone to drive, but when they pass their test, observation goes out the door. Sinead Larkin got in touch in Kilsheel, and she said the N24 at Piltown is even more dangerous to drive at night time and must be very confusing for tourists travelling between Tipperary and Waterford. Yep. It needs to be redesigned. And another person got in contact to say, Fran, the reason Shane Ross didn't want a general election, he would lose his ministry. Then Mike got in touch with me to say that he feels they should stop testing cars altogether at the moment until they deal with the problems on the roads, because he feels cars are being destroyed by all the potholes and bad junctions, bad roads.
I agree. It's cost me a fortune. Don't get me started on that. It's cost me a fortune.
And he feels that, you know, what is the point in testing cars when it's a situation that they mightn't pass because of what they hit on the road on a daily basis. Then we've a couple of other texts in there, and it's something we're going to speak about after 10 o'clock. And came in from William Duff, and he said, morning Fran, absolutely disgusted that the two people from the Alpha One trial out of the 21 who trialled the drug Resprezza had to pay the highest price before the government saw sense. Why didn't the government see sense and reinstate the drug? And he sends his condolences to Tipperary Nina woman Marion Kelly and also Anne Cassidy. And as we know, Marion passed away on Friday, sadly. And it's something we're going to be looking at after the break.
Absolutely, for sure. Trudy, thanks very much indeed for that. Do keep your text coming into us on 083-311-3311. Maureen was on to us as well from Dollar to say, respect to the schools for their music and well-being projects they're implementing in the schools. As a youngish grandmother who enjoys the occasional dance, I firmly believe and discover that music and dance is good for the body, the mind and the spirit. And that's Maureen from Dala. Hello to you, Maureen. Nice to hear from you today as well. And I would go along with that, needless to say. But I'm just thinking that when Amy was doing her piece with me about Cashel Community School, that the kind of backup that's there for students nowadays is absolutely fantastic. And when I compare it to my days in the CBS in Cashel, when there was absolutely no backup at all, and when the Christian Brothers themselves indeed added to the fear and the trials and tribulations of young people instead of helping them out in some way. But there you go. Am I up on my soapbox again? Maybe I am.